Ramsey TV.
I want to show you chapter 5 of my upcoming book, the one I co-authored with Heidi Kolpo, called The Lie of Every Man's Battle. We refute the Christian bestseller, the horrible, condemning, family-wrecking Christian bestseller, Every Man's Battle. And chapter 5 is called Everything the Bible Has to Say About Porn. You're getting a sneak preview, by the way, into this book. This is a sample. This is what they call a bound galley. Anyway, Everything the Bible Has to Say About Porn. Watch carefully. Watch carefully. You're seeing this for the first time. Boink. 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 It's 25 blank pages, ladies and gentlemen. Went to a lot of trouble to put 25 blank pages in this book. I'm sure people are going to see the blank pages and go, they screwed up. Then they'll see the name of the chapter. And they'll see everything the Bible has to say about porn, which is nada. Martin Zender here from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. Going to talk about men and women right now and all the arguments they have over pornography. A lot of men out there on websites, looking at images of women naked and scantily clad. Why didn't he tell me I had mark on his jacket? This is embarrassing. All right, this requires me to take off my jacket. Everybody's going to be distracted now, including me. I'm not going to be able to stop thinking about that mark. Okay. Men and women, husbands and wives, I'm going to betray a secret of my gender right now. Men might be mad at me for doing this, but I'm going to tell you the chief appeal of porn to men, or the chief appeal of the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated, the chief appeal of the cover of Maxim magazine. What men like most is not the women's breasts. No. It's not their hourglass figure. It's not the glorious, god-awful, wonderful intersection. No, it's not their hair. It's not their lips. It's not their eyes. I'm giving away a secret here. This is what it is. Is that none of the women on those websites are rolling their eyes at them. None of those women on the websites are condemning them for being men. None of the women on those websites are pointing their finger at them. Because the women on those websites accept them. They like them. And that is the number one appeal of images of women. And they're smiling even. The women without their clothes, or the women in a bikini, they're smiling. What? They appear to be enjoying life. They like what they're doing. And there's a rapport, even though you might say this is crazy. Well, how is a man having a rapport with an image? He's having a rapport with an arrangement of pixels on a screen. You gotta look deeper. He's having a rapport with a member of the opposite sex. And this is in his mind. In his mind, all he wants is acceptance for being allowed to be who God made him. And he wants to unburden his soul to the woman God gave him. He wants to unburden his sexual soul to her. And he's tried, I'm guessing many times, to try to explain to the woman God gave him what is in him. But many, many, many of the women have been so trained to be suspect and condemning of anything having to do with female beauty, especially female beauty that maybe is not theirs, that they're so quick to roll their eyes and condemn and tisk tisk. But I tell you, the majority of these men, they don't want to be on these websites. They don't want to be sneaking around. They don't want it. They want their wives to be accepting of them. They want to live their fantasies with their wife. That's what they want. But when they're condemned, thought to be perverts, animals, then they'll go find women who like them. And you're lucky that your man's only looking at porn. Why is it that women are never implicated in the porn problem in marriages? Nobody ever asks the question, why is the man looking at porn? Nobody ever asks that question, because the man is the animal, the man is the evil one. He's the one God condemns, and the wife is pure and holy. She's righteously indignant. And then we have a Christian industry built on this BS, built on this false guilt. And their Bible is every man's battle. And every man's battle is turning men into women. Women like it. Christian women like their men becoming more like them. They're calmer. They're less insistent. Yeah, that's because they're just, it's like a man in prison. He'll eventually have to adapt to the prison. He's in prison now, so he has to accept it like a monkey in a cage. Oh, that monkey looks happy. No, he's trying to cope with a freaking cage. Do you remember the chapter in my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God? The last chapter, I had a contest between myself and the cult guy, the guy who wrote the book on cults. Can't think of his name right now, but anyway, I took all the points he gave of what a cult is, and I applied them to the Christian religion and to me. And of course, the result was the Christian religion is a cult, not Martin Zender. I have no characteristics of a cult whatsoever. Get my book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. Very entertaining, the last chapter. So in this book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, which I talked about yesterday, this is not an actual copy. I printed up a cover, and I put it on First Idiot in Heaven. This is what it's going to look like. I have a chapter here. It's a sin contest. It's a sin contest between men and women. Let's see who the sinners are. That's just objective. This is objective. Women, I'll warn you ahead of time, you're not going to like it. Could you be honest? Let's just look into this. This section is called Sin Contest. I propose a contest. It will be a contest between a husband who has picked up a copy of Maxim magazine at the bookstore to admire the bikini-clad cover model, and the wife who discovers, criticizes, and condemns him. Again, it's a sin contest. I'm going to print three classic scriptural passages from Paul containing lists of sins. And we are going to see who is sinning more in this scenario of the husband staring at even the cover of Maxim magazine at the bikini-clad model and the wife who condemns him for it. Who's sinning more? In this example, in almost every circle, it is assumed that the husband is the sinner. But I'd like to assume something else. I'm going to assume this, that the husband has no intention of obtaining the model's phone number, calling her, meeting her at a hotel, and screwing her. There's no intention of doing that. His eye is just captured by this beautiful human being that God made, and he's admiring her, and he's not ashamed of it. So he maybe looks at it for a half a minute. Ooh, terrible, isn't it? The husband loves his wife. He shows her every day that he loves her. He works for her, supports her, tries to give her everything she needs, loves their children. He simply likes to look at pictures of beautiful women in bikinis. Fair enough. Here we go with the sin contest. Passage 1 is from 2 Corinthians 12:20. This is how I lay it out in the book. There's a list of sins, 2 Corinthians 12:20, of the husband on the left, wife on the right, Ephesians 4:31, going to get to that soon, husband and wife. Are you ready for this? Hang on to your gonads out there. And here's the list of sins, and I list them on the page. Strife, jealousy, fury, faction, vilification, whisperings, puffing up, and turbulence. Those are the specific sins since 2 Corinthians 12:20. Now, on the left side, we have a husband admiring a beautiful woman in a bikini at the bookstore. On the right side, we have a wife becoming upset over it. Sin number one, strife. Is the man creating strife? No. The woman reacts with strife, jealousy. The man's not exhibiting any jealousy, but the wife hates the bikini model because she's taking the attention of her husband, which she wants all to herself. There's a name for that in Scripture. It's jealousy. Fury. Yes, the woman becomes furious. Is the man guilty of the sin of fury? No. In fact, he looks quite calm and peaceful while he's looking at the magazine cover. Faction. Oh, this is causing a split. Not because of him. He's not becoming factious. But the wife is. Vilification. That is speaking evil of someone. The wife will commit this sin, as we will see. Whisperings. Oh, yes. You don't believe what Jim did at the bookstore. Puffing up. Wife guilty. Husband not. Turbulence. Yes. This simple act, this innocent act of a man looking at a beautiful woman when his wife catches him, quote unquote, it causes turbulence in the marriage. The wife is guilty of strife, jealousy, fury, faction, vilification, whisperings, puffing up, and turbulence. The husband, not one sin is he guilty of in this scenario. And here's the chart right here. You can see strife, jealousy, fury, faction. Look at all the check marks on the side of the wife who becomes upset over the man doing something that is completely legal, not condemned in God's word, admiring the beauty of a woman for 30 freaking seconds. Now we get to Ephesians 4:31. Here are the sins in the passage. Bitterness, fury, anger, clamor, calumny, and malice. Is the man bitter when he's looking at the magazine cover? No. Again, is he furious? This is a sin repeated from 2 Corinthians 12:20. He is not. Is he angry? Far from it. Is he clamorous? Again, he looks quite peaceful. Is he cursing anything? That is he being calumniating? He's calumniating no one. How about malice? No. Now let's go to the wife, the pure, innocent woman who has a righteous indignation that her husband dare admire feminine beauty, which, by the way, is not prohibited anywhere in Scripture. It's not prohibited. It's not in the law of Moses, not in the New Testament. Is it prohibited that a man admiring the beauty of a woman is a sin? Nowhere is it a sin. Find it for me. You won't. Don't bother. The wife, bitterness, yeah. Fury, hell yes. Anger, hell yes. Clamor, the clamor will start when they get out of the bookstore if she waits that long. Calumny, that is speaking bad, speaking evil, yes. Malice, yes. Now we go to the third passage. Oh, yes, so the wife, the score now. The wife has committed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 sins in Ephesians 4. The wife has committed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sins in 2 Corinthians 12:20. The man, nothing. So the score is now 14 to nothing. The wife is, quote, winning, unquote. She's losing. She's sinning big time. Ooh, this is a different look at things, isn't it? Now let's go to the last passage. Galatians 5:19. The sins listed, this is a really extensive passage, Paul mentions. The sins listed here are adultery, prostitution, uncleanness, wantonness, idolatry, enchantment, enmity, strife, jealousies, furies, factions, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. Number one, adultery. Okay, nobody's committing adultery here. I should mention at this point, there's a verse in Matthew 5:28 where Jesus says, anyone who looks at a woman with lust to commit adultery with her has already committed the adultery in his heart. And this verse is twisted to clobber men over the head. It is twisted by women and by religious men like Arterburn and Stoker, who wrote the abomination, Every Man's Battle. It is assumed that looking is the sin. If you look at a woman with lust, it's the same as committing adultery. No, it's you're looking at that woman with the intention of committing adultery. It's the intention. In other words, if you had an opportunity, you would commit adultery. But because the woman's husband came home at the last minute, right before you're ready to crawl into the window with your package of condoms, oh, I'm off the hook. I didn't commit the sin. No. In the law of Moses, you intended to commit the sin. The only thing you lacked was opportunity, so you're guilty of it because you intended to do it. A man who looks at a magazine cover, he doesn't even know if the woman is single or married. Here's another point. How can you commit this sin against a single woman? But nobody makes this distinction. The religious crowd just figures, well, you look at a woman, you commit adultery. Wait, I can't commit adultery against a single woman, can I? If I'm single and she's single, how the hell can I commit adultery, even if I'm looking? Well, we haven't thought about that. Well, I don't know. That's a, what? No, this is a sin of intention. There's a crime here in the context of Matthew 5:28, and the crime is adultery. No man admiring a passing woman is committing adultery, nor does he intend to commit adultery. He doesn't even know if the woman's single. So if you want to obey the religious people, just before you admire a woman, you see a beautiful woman in a short skirt across the street, men, just go up to her, ask her if she's married. If she's not, say, okay, great, go back across the street, and then you can look at her, because you can't commit adultery by looking at her because she's single. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. So I wrote a whole newsletter on this. There's a chapter on it in the book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, coming out soon, coming out very soon. So in this case, nobody is committing adultery. The wife is off the hook on this sin, oddly enough. Nobody's committing prostitution or uncleanness. The man's not being unclean. It's not unclean to admire what God called good. There's no wantonness. Wantonness is that which is done under the cover of night. I think the word in the Greek has to do with moonlight. You're just being sneaky. No, he's here right in the middle of, right in public, admiring the cover of the magazine. Idolatry? No. The man realizes this woman, as great as she is, as good looking as she is on the cover there of the magazine, she's not God. She didn't take away his sins. He knows the difference between God and this woman. It's not idolatry. Enchantment? No. Okay, now we get to the sin. Enmity. Oh, yes, the wife is guilty. Strife, yes. Jealous, of course. She wants to kill the freaking model. That's a real holy thought. That's really holy, women. That's nice. It's nice. That's one of the worst sins in the Bible, jealousy. Jealousy is condemned everywhere. It's jealousy that put Christ to death. You are guilty of it. If you automatically assume that your husband looking at a beautiful woman means that he doesn't think you're beautiful, or it automatically means that he hates you. And you want to rip up the magazine. You want to rip it up. That's jealousy. Jealousy requires three parties. And you have the three parties here. You have the woman on the cover, the man, and the wife. The man's not going to leave his wife. The man loves his wife. He thinks she's beautiful. He wants to go home and have sex with her. He might want to have sex with the model on the cover, but he's not going to. He doesn't intend to, so it's not a sin. Wanting to have sex with somebody isn't a sin. Intending to do it, plotting to do it, planning to do it, in the case of adultery, that is a sin. The law of Moses considers the intention to do the crime a sin. He's not intending any of this. He's just going, wow, isn't she beautiful? Wow, God, what a creation. Oh my gosh, she's fantastic. Look at that. Oh, she's great. 30 seconds. Wife's jealous. Hates the woman. Oh, hate. There's a wonderful emotion. Hate. Great. Good job, lady. Fury. Check. Faction. Check. Dissension. Check. Sects. Check. Envy. Check. So the wife has committed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these sins. The man, nothing. Here's the summation of the sin contest. And I'm reading from my book now. You're going to love this chapter. And women, I really hope that you learn something from this. Here we go. Is the husband committing prostitution with a model? No. Adultery? No. Is he even lusting to commit adultery? No. Is his looking by itself unclean? No. Not by any scriptural definition. Is it wanton? No. He's doing it in broad daylight. Is it idolatrous? Not by a long shot. Otherwise, he'd be putting the cover model before God and serving her as God. The wife, however, now I'm going to read what the wife is doing. And whenever I emphasize a word, it means that word is in bold type, which means, as you can see on the page here, it is one of the sins mentioned in Paul. Okay, you see the bold? Okay, here's what happens after the man looks at the cover. He's not committing any of these sins. The wife, however, is jealous of the cover model. She's not only jealous of her, she envies the model's perfect body. She is furious at her husband for looking at the cover model. Because of these feelings, she is now at enmity with him, creating dissension. There is malice in her heart. She feels the need to punish him. Her jealousy over the model and disappointment over her husband rouses her anger. This trip to the bookstore had been pleasant, but now it has become turbulent and strife-filled. On the way out of the bookstore, the wife vents her feelings. There is bitterness in her voice. She is certain that she is right and he is wrong. This puffed up view of her own moral superiority blinds her to her own sins. In the parking lot, she creates a clamor by vehemently expressing dissatisfaction with the man God gave her. She does this so audibly that several passersby turn to see what's happening. When she gets home, she goes into another room to call her sister. She whispers into the phone so that her husband will not hear. Now she can really vilify him, that is, down-talk him to her sister. "He doesn't love me anymore," she cries. "He doesn't want me. He only wants beautiful models. He's a pervert." In saying these things, she commits calumny against her husband. That is, she reports false and malicious things concerning him to injure his reputation to her sister. Because none of the things she's saying are true. He's not a pervert. He doesn't only want beautiful models. He doesn't hate her. This is calumny. This is vilification. This is demeaning his character to another person. It's malicious. It's evil. And it stems from jealousy, from anger, from bitterness. This wife is suffused with sin. She's dripping with sin in this scenario. Dripping with it. And yet, Christianity looks at her as a righteous woman. Why are you so angry? Why are you so bitter? Why are you so furious? Why are you insulting your husband so much? Well, he looked at a picture of a woman in a bikini. Oh, that's terrible. How dare he? It's a sin of the eyes. It'll inevitably rocket in by stages till he chops up women in the basement. This must be stopped. He's a sinner. And the husband is then taken into the back room and lectured. Matthew 5:28 is twisted like it always is to condemn him. He's committed adultery. Same. He's treated the same way as a guy who crawls into a woman's window at night and fucks her when her husband's gone. This guy who strains his whole life to be faithful to his wife. A man who has opportunity to commit adultery, opportunity to have sex with other women, but never takes it, never takes the opportunities because he loves his wife, because he looks at a magazine. He is put in the same category as actual adulterers. All of his willpower to avoid real adultery is thrown out the window. All the care he has taken to be careful of his wife's feelings, to avoid being alone with other women, let alone having sex with other women. None of it counts when Matthew 5:28 is used as a weapon against him. It's a sin. It's horrible. How's a man going to feel? I'm no better than an adulterer. I know men who have been called adulterers. Why? For committing adultery? No. For looking at pictures of beautiful women, clad or otherwise. It's a sin. She and her sister have now become their own sect, successfully creating a two-party faction that will oppose any defense offered by the criminal, that is, the husband. The husband can't get out of it, not in the Christian world. Not in the Christian world. He's the victim. He's always the wrong one. The woman is pure. The woman is holy. The woman has done no wrong. Her anger is justified. Everything's justified. that's not the case. Of the 26 sins listed, crossing out the repeated sins, the husband, this is the score. This is the tally at the end of our little sin contest. Of the 26 sins listed, crossing out repeated sins, the husband, who is openly admiring the bikini-clad Maxim cover model at the bookstore, is committing none of them. While the wife, criticizing and condemning him, is guilty of committing 17 of the 26 sins. 17 of the 26 sins mentioned by Paul, the wife is guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Sin, 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 sin. In what freaking world is she the pure one? Never implicated in the porn problem. I can take a really good guess why the guy looks at porn in the first place. I can take a really good guess. If you're having problems in your marriage based on sex, or if you have friends that are having problems based on sex, which is all of them, the Live Every Man's Battle will be out probably, I'm guessing 6 weeks. You need this book. This book only applies to two kinds of people, men and women.